World Soccer Talk Radio. World Soccer Talk Radio. Hope you all had a fantastic Labor Day weekend. My name is Nate Abarea, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to be back with you. Are you enjoying the international break? Remember that also? It's the song that never ends. That's how I feel about international breaks. They just go on and on and on. When was the last weekend of Premier League matches? Like 8 weeks ago or something? International break continues, although there are some great, great fixtures this evening, including Estados Unidos contra Brazil and Mexico, Argentina. That's going to be quite fun. And I am glad to actually be back in my hometown of Watsonville, California, for this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio, the Mexican soccer hotbed of Watsonville. So I look forward to checking out the El Tri fixture this evening with all of my Mexican brothers and sisters here in my hometown. It was a great experience up in the city by the bay in San Francisco last week, doing a couple of shows live from headquarters and spending a couple of additional days in the city. Went way up north for a stand-up comedy festival up in Humboldt County. And I've got a funny little story that's going to tie right back to World Soccer Talk Radio and my beloved San Jose Earthquakes real quick. I was hanging out in San Francisco on Thursday night, and a friend of mine asked me, he said, Nate, if there's one professional soccer player that reminds you of yourself as a player, who would it be? Now, when you answer this question, what are you going to be like? Oh, Gareth Bale or Messi or Neymar, they really remind me of myself. Now, you got to be honest about this. You got to kind of break it down in some funny ways. And I said to my friend, I said, I am a big, slow lug with a mean shot. I can occasionally dime a pass. I know how to find space in the 18. I will kick you because I'm not as fast as you, and that's the only way for me to keep up. I'm going to elbow. I'm going to use my head. I'm going to knee you in your groin. I'm going to do everything that puts me on an even surface with you because I'm slow. I'm fat. All I have is a shot and the ability to find space. You know, I'd say the player that reminds me most of myself, Connor Casey. And we laughed and we said, what the hell ever happened to Connor Casey? Well, just a few days later, I happened to catch the end of the San Jose Earthquakes game after one of my comedy shows up in Arcata, California. I got into the bar in the 73rd minute just in time to see Connor Casey score a brace and end the San Jose Earthquakes winning streak. My spiritual brethren, Connor, Neanderthal, Casey. Cheers to you and cheers to the Philadelphia Union, I guess. Gary Hayes is with us on the other side of this break. World Soccer Talk Radio. Good to be back. Come on, let's have it.
See the world's best matches live, wherever you are, with Fox Soccer To Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com. If you're a soccer fan and you want to cut the cord and watch more of the beautiful game, NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for. FreeSoccerTrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J-League from Japan, K-League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the US. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Football season starts Sunday, and you could kick things off by winning $2 million at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. It's the biggest fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's fantasy football on demand. Play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. Just pick your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. You've never experienced football like this. It may only be week one, but it already feels like the playoffs at DraftKings.com. And every broken tackle or spectacular catch could take you closer to a $2 million payday. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code Monsanto to play for free for a shot at part of $10 million in Sunday's Millionaire Maker event. Enter Monsanto for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here. Time to shake off that boring old weekend and get back to the excitement of labor. You're going to need a good lunch, though. So stop into a KFC for a $5 fill-up with two pieces of original recipe chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a medium drink. Okay, then. I'll let you get back to work now. KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Drum thigh side cookie medium drink. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
World Soccer Talk Radio, back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. My name is Nate Abarea. Tweet me at NateWST. Tweet all of us at World Soccer Talk and at Sports Byline USA. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher. Thanks for subscribing to this show on all of those platforms. And a special hello to the men and women overseas listening on the American Forces Network. Check out the website, worldsoccertalk.com. It is a pleasure to welcome back to the show the lead Chelsea correspondent for the Bleacher Report, Mr. Gary Hayes. Gary, how are things with you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Hasn't been that great for Chelsea this season, of course, but England continue to keep doing well. So, yeah, everything's good.
Well, let's start right there. The international break, it's interesting. As a Chelsea fan, you normally dread these international breaks. You want to just keep rolling in the Premier League. I'm sure this one was a little bit of a blessing, and you got to see your Three Lions book their ticket to France 2016, Gary.
Yeah, certainly for England, it's encouraging to see them keep winning. They're winning 1-0 at the moment against Switzerland after Harry Kane scored. But, yeah, it's good. You know, they're undefeated since the World Cup, which, you know, they haven't faced many big teams, but given the position they're in at the back end of the 2014 World Cup, it wasn't very encouraging. So to see them now, that they're going to, well, it looks like they're going to keep their 100% winning record in the group. So that's good to see. And they're slowly building some momentum for new generation of players. But I think from Chelsea's perspective, I think the international break came at a bad time, really, considering that they've got Everton this weekend. And it means that, you know, Mourinho, he might have had 2 weeks off, but the problems this Chelsea team have got, he'd have rather had 2 weeks on a training ground than, whereas everyone's flying around the globe playing in their, you know, for their separate countries, and now you know, they've got to come back, they'll have a day or two training, and then they're jetting off to Everton themselves. So I'm not sure it's exactly a good thing for Chelsea, really.
Well, and you'll be calling that game on Rabble.tv on Saturday. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. And we'll get back to the Three Lions as well and talk about something that I'm really interested to discuss with you, and that is your infatuation with football programs and the history of football programs in England and how it, in many ways, really all started with Chelsea. So let's actually start with this Chelsea-Everton match, because last year it was one of the fixtures of the year, and I think it was the third or fourth game of last year as well. And so it'll be the fifth fixture for Everton and Chelsea at Goodison. This time around, it was the 6-3 match where Tim Howard was just getting beaten left and right. Diego Costa was truly cementing himself as the Nelson Muntz villain of the Premier League and just sticking out his finger at people and saying, ha ha. Are we expecting another 6-3 this time around? Are we expecting something exactly the opposite of a 6-3 thriller like we had last year at Goodison between these two teams? What are you looking for, Everton-Chelsea, the match that will be kicking off the much-anticipated next weekend of Premier League matches?
Well, it's being billed as the John Stones derby, isn't it? Because, you know, obviously, with Chelsea missing out on him the way they did, and I guess it would have been the John Stones derby regardless, because if he'd gone to Chelsea, you know, at the end of the transfer window, his first game for Chelsea would have been against Everton as well. So it's got that added bite to it, isn't it? You know, the fact that Chelsea are irked in the fact they couldn't get Stones, and then Everton have got their backs up a bit for the way Chelsea pursued him. But I think we're certainly going to see goals, because you look at this Chelsea team, they can't defend at the moment. They've conceded, you know, no less than two goals every game, and it's a big concern for them. And, you know, going to a hostile stadium on the back of a two-week break isn't ideal anyway. And when you're coming up against a team that are going to have a, you know, a point to prove, and the fans are going to want to get one over Chelsea more than ever. So, you know, it's going to be a really difficult game for Chelsea. And, you know, 2 weeks away, Whether that does the players any good or not, you know, remains to be seen. But I think for the manager, certainly, he's not going to have liked it, as we've already discussed. And I think Chelsea have got a lot of problems that they just need to be able to focus on the training pitch. But now, you know, on the back of this game, they've got Maccabi Tel Aviv in the Champions League. So they're going to be playing 2-3 games a week now. And, you know, it's going to be game, rest. And they're not going to have much time on the training ground, which is a big concern.
Gary, what do you think that's like for Jose Mourinho? It's got to be such an uncommon feeling for him to see a team that he's managing, and this goes for whether it's Chelsea, FC Porto, Madrid, Milan, anywhere, a team that is having trouble defending. I mean, that's the last thing you would expect from a Mourinho side. How do you think he's feeling right now, and what do you think he's going to do to rectify the chaos at the back line for Chelsea?
Yeah, just seeing him in press conferences, you know, and up close and personal, he's not a very happy guy at all. I'm not sure whether that's because of the business Chelsea have done in the transfer market, you know, in the fact that he's frustrated about, or whether it's a simple case of him just, you know, being totally at a loss as to why some of these players are just haven't turned up yet this season. That Chelsea look undercooked. And if you look at the likes of Branislav Ivanovic as well, the rapid decline from this time last year to now, even from May to now, you know. Speaking to Alan Pardew after that Crystal Palace game, he said to me that, you know, it was a deliberate ploy to double up on Ivanovic. And, you know, we saw it where Zaha was on him in the first half, and then he brought Balassi on to target Ivanovic. And both goals that Palace scored in that game came down Chelsea's right. So I think we're going to see, well, you'd like to think from Mourinho, a manager who's tactically astute as well, that you're going to see Ivanovic perhaps dropped or moved elsewhere, you know, maybe move him into the centre to play in his more natural position, which I think is highly unlikely. But, you know, they've got Rahman now at left back, so maybe Azpilicueta is going to come in and play at right back just to give Ivanovic a rest, you know, not necessarily drop him. But, you know, you can see with Mourinho, the defence, that is the cornerstone of any Mourinho team. So to see them conceding the goals the way they are is going to be, you know, a major issue for him.
Well, Gary, let's put the managerial caps on real quickly, because in addition to some of the things that you pointed out with the right-sided focus of Alan Pardew and Crystal Palace, how they were going to exploit Ivanovic, there have been a couple other instances of Chelsea opponents here in the four games this season really pressing up high and doing everything they can to put ample pressure on defenders when they have the ball, almost taking a little page out of the Mourinho football Bible and renouncing possession and putting pressure on defenders or defensive midfielders when they have the ball and pouncing on mistakes in true Mourinho footballing Bible fashion. How is he going to combat that? And again, you know, kind of put on your managerial cap here. When a team is really pressing that high against you the way seemingly every Chelsea opponent has this year, how do you come back on that? How do you fix that situation and not get caught out the way they did against Crystal Palace?
Well, the key to it is Chelsea aren't playing enough football in the opposition half, so they need to be able to play in the opposition's half whereby teams have got to sit a little bit deeper against them, and they can't put as many men forward and flood the midfield the way they have. The way to do that is to put more bodies in that midfield area, maybe by switching to a different formation, such as a 4-3-3, where you still keep Matic in there, Fabregas, but then it allows Oscar or Willian to play a bit deeper. And then you keep the front three of Pedro, Hazard and Diego Costa. I just think at the moment that 4-2-3-1 isn't working for Chelsea, because it means they've got an extra attacker on the pitch where they're a little bit lightweight in that central midfield area where we've seen this season in the four games they've played, you know, even against West Bromwich Albion when they beat them 3-2. But I think the signs were there last year when Paris Saint-Germain knocked them out of the Champions League in March. You know, Verratti in that game totally and utterly dominated the midfield, and Chelsea didn't really have an answer for it. And even though Paris Saint-Germain were down to 10 men, they were the better team for the whole 120 minutes at Stamford Bridge, because it went to extra time, and, you know, they were deserved winners, albeit by away goals. But I think that looking at that game, had Ibrahimovic not been sent off, you'd have been looking at a Chelsea defeat, you know, rather than an away goals defeat. And it's something that the club needs to address. And, you know, when you look at that team now as well, you've got Ruben Loftus-Cheek, who's a big physical presence on the bench. You know, there's an argument maybe to, if Chelsea do switch a formation to 4-3-3 or even keep it at the 4-2-3-1 they're playing at the moment, to put Loftus-Cheek in there just for a bit more physicality. You know, a player who's equally adept with the ball at his feet as well. So I think there needs to be some changes made, because at the moment, you know, it's not working for Chelsea. They've been sussed out, and Mourinho's had 2 weeks to mull over it, and he's got to come up with a formula now.
Gary, 30 seconds before we got a head to break here, you referenced that front line, that three-man, the trifecta, the Pedro Falcao Costa. Everybody healthy going into Goodison? Because it seems like that's going to be a question every weekend for Chelsea this year with those three.
Yeah, well, I think Costa was encouraging in his performance for Spain at the weekend. And I know Hazard was called the worst player on the pitch against Cyprus, despite his goal for Belgium. But the fact he scored, and that's encouraging. So I think, you know, if they can come back of Anthony Knox, then that'll be certainly the front three that we see. And I think Chelsea need them to all be on form.
Yeah, talk about being reminded of myself as a soccer player. It sounds like the things I would get told. I'd score a goal, I'd be really high on myself, and I'd still get told I was the worst player on the pitch in a given match. Nate Abarrea here with Gary Hayes. We are going to talk a little bit more about the Blues and the Three Lions on the other side of this break. England to the Euros in 2016. Can the youthful exuberance that they're showing really pay off in France? We'll pose that question to Gary Hayes on the other side of this break. World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
See the world's best matches live wherever you are with Fox Soccer To Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com. If you're a soccer fan and you want to cut the cord and watch more of the beautiful game, NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for. FreeSoccerTrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J-League from Japan, K-League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the U.S., try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Football season starts Sunday, and you could kick things off by winning $2 million at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. It's the biggest fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's fantasy football on demand. Play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. Just pick your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. You've never experienced football like this. It may only be week one, but it already feels like the playoffs at DraftKings.com. And every broken tackle or spectacular catch could take you closer to a $2 million payday. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code Monsanto to play for free for a shot at part of $10 million in Sunday's Millionaire Maker event. Enter Monsanto for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here. Time to shake off that boring old weekend and get back to the excitement of labor. You're going to need a good lunch, though. So stop into a KFC for a $5 fill-up with two pieces of original recipe chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a medium drink. Okay, then. I'll let you get back to work now. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Drum thigh side cookie medium drink. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
World Soccer Talk Radio, back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Nate Abarrea here with Gary Hazley, Chelsea correspondent for Bleacher Report. Last Chelsea question here for you, Gary, and it's kind of putting this whole thing in perspective. We've played four matches in the Premier League. Every team is on four games and separated by just a few points. We're four games into a 38-match season, and people are panicking as if Chelsea have been playing like this for, I don't know, 20, 25 games. I mean, it seems like such a product of the overreactionary age and the ADD football age that we live in. Would you care? I'm going to give you the floor right now, Gary. Would you care to ground anyone and say, hey, let's calm down a little bit here as far as this Stamford Bridge panic for the Blues? Or is there really something to panic about that you're seeing here in these first four matches?
Yeah, I think certainly to panic. It's just the, you know, how bad they've been defensively, and then, you know, going forward, you know, the likes of Costa and Hazard haven't looked fit at all. And sorry, just as I say that, Wayne Rooney's just scored for England to become the record all time goal scorer for England now. That's his 50th goal. Just scored a penalty. Sorry, yeah, to go back to Chelsea. I just think it's a big concern because this Chelsea team, when you look at them, they started the season so well last year, in that, you know, from the off, they were a dominant team. They led the, you know, the Premier League for 38 games. No one could touch them. They won the league after 35 games in the season. You know, they were that dominant that, you know, few teams could get near them, and, you know, they really made that, you know, their ability and that dominance count, you know, early on in the campaign. And then, you know, as it got later into the season and Mourinho was still using the same 11 players, you could see some fatigue was setting in, but they had enough of a cushion that where, you know, that they could, you know, draw games or, you know, not have the great performances and win games 1-0 like we saw against Manchester United at the end of the season. But the problem is now that Chelsea are playing the same way they did in April or May, where they look tired. If they're looking tired now, that doesn't bode well for the rest of the season. And Chelsea haven't really done much in the transfer market that allows Mourinho to go out and change it. And I think that's where the concern is that beyond that first 11, Chelsea really don't have much. So if those first 11 players aren't performing the way that they should, you know, it's going to be a big concern for Chelsea because they can't really chop and change much. And if they can't chop and change much, they've got to stick with that, you know, those 11 players. So when you've got the issues that Chelsea have got defensively with Ivanovic and, you know, even the Manu Matic in defensive midfield, there's not much outside of that Mourinho can do unless he's going to bring some youth players in. And I think for a team that's got, you know, aspirations for retaining the title and winning, you know, back-to-back titles, if you're starting to look to youth team players for, you know, the support to, you know, to come in and actually start winning games, then I think you've got big problems. And I think that's where the concern is for Chelsea. But over the course of the season, of course, you know, it's only four games in. For all we know, Chelsea can go on and win the next 34 games and run away with a record points haul. But, you know, is that going to happen? You know, it's not really going to happen, is it? And I think that with this Chelsea team, we expect so much more from them. And that's the concern, is that they don't look like the Chelsea that we know, and it's going to take a lot for them to get back to that. And, you know, teams have sussed them out. You know, teams are, the Premier League so competitive now as well, with some of the money that the lesser teams have, or the so-called lesser teams have been spending. So, you know, Chelsea have got some big problems there that need to be addressed, and they're playing big teams at the moment. You know, they've got Everton at this weekend, and that's not going to be an easy game for them. And it's a big concern.
Well, Gary, I asked you earlier in the program to put on your managerial cap, and I love the idea of inserting Loftus-Cheek into this Chelsea side and the things that he could take care of in regards to the way that teams have really come at Chelsea and pressed really high against them. And as we said earlier, really taking a page, ironically, out of the Jose Mourinho Bible, and teams are renouncing possession and saying, we're going to chase your defenders and put you under pressure and make you lose the ball in the midfield, make you lose the ball in your own half and pounce on your mistakes. It'd be interesting to see what Loftus-Cheek could do in terms of flooding the midfield in the way that you talked about. It is the Saturday 12:45 fixture in the UK, live from Merseyside, 4:45 a.m. Pacific time here in the US of A, 7:45 on the East Coast. It's the John Stones Derby, as Gary called it. It's returning to the scene of that 6-3 thriller between these two sides at Goodison Park last year. Chelsea and Everton, sure to be a fun one. It's kicking off this upcoming Premier League weekend as we finally return from this long, drawn-out international break. But within the international break, there was some joy for the Three Lions, and it looks like they're going to also beat Switzerland today, stay perfect, and a couple of goal scorers. Interesting combination here for the 2-0, assuming that it stays that way. Harry Kane and Wayne Rooney. Now, we were having a very interesting discussion off the air a few minutes ago, Gary, about the quote-unquote golden era. Everyone here's in England and around the world, they know about the English golden era that was expected to bring a lot of joy and bring perhaps a few trophies to England. didn't exactly work out that way. And it's something that I think as the years go by, we're going to get more and more perspective on just how golden that era was, or maybe wasn't. But we talked about the departures of Lampard and Gerrard kind of being the nail in the coffin of the quote-unquote golden era. But then you have Wayne Rooney, who, as you said, Gary, is kind of this last little connector, this in-betweener between this new generation of England players and the golden era. I look at this New England team and I see so much youthful exuberance. I see so much just people that want to take defenders on, people that have an attitude in the way that they play, a lot of speed, a lot of exuberance. How are you feeling about moving on from the quote-unquote golden era with the English national team, Gary?
Yeah, I think it's encouraging. I think, you know, a lot of the debate at the moment in England is based around the fact that, you know, the foreign influx, you know, the influx of foreign players into the Premier League has damaged the England team. But I think if you look at the quality England have got here, I think in a couple of years' time, we could be talking about, you know, another quote-unquote golden era again, because there's some exciting players here. Just looking tonight, you've got Harry Kane, who's, you know, he's only had a season in you know, top flight football, and but he's scoring goals, and he scored his third England goal tonight, you know, and it was a big goal as well. It's put England 1-0 up. And then, you know, Wayne Rooney still got, you know, the legs in him. He's still scoring goals. He's tonight, his goal is a record for England in terms of his 50th goal, but then also he's the only player to score in seven, you know, consecutive qualifying matches, you know, so it shows that he's still doing the business in front of goal for England. And, you know, to score 50 goals at the international levels, you know, no mean feat. So I think outside of that, you know, you've got Raheem Sterling, there's Theo Walcott on the bench, you know, John Stones was discussing briefly tonight at the back there, Joe Hart is still young for a goalkeeper. Now, they've got a good blend of youth and experience here. I just think that English football needs to stop being so down on itself. You know, if England get behind this team and, you know, there's a bit of confidence there, there's no reason why next summer this team can't go on and, you know, shock a few people. Because I think if you look at, you know, teams in Europe, you know, maybe outside of Germany, there aren't many teams you'd look at that England wouldn't give a game, if you like. You know, I'm not saying that they're going to go on and, you know, win the European Championship next summer, but I think you look at the state of some of the teams in Europe that England aren't in a bad stage of their transition at the moment. And it's been encouraging. You know, these young players have come in after the World Cup and, you know, they've taken the ball by the horns and they haven't lost a game. They've won all their games in qualification and the group wasn't the hardest. But, you know, the old cliche is you can only beat the teams in front of you. And that's what England are doing at the moment. And they're not just doing it. They're doing it convincingly. You know, it's 2-0 to tonight. If the game stays at 2-0, then England have got a, you know, plus 8 goal difference on their last two games. They've only conceded 3 goals in the group. So it's looking encouraging. You know, we shouldn't get carried away with it. But I think if you look at this new generation of players coming in, you know, if someone told Roy Hodgson this time last year that England would be in this position now after a horror shown at the World Cup, you know, who'd have bitten their hand off? You know, the FA would have. There's encouraging signs with this England team.
Ross Barkley is the one that I am certainly excited about. And if I were an England fan, I would really be looking forward to the development of Ross Barkley. And you bring up Raheem Sterling. There's a few other examples of these young players with flair. And I always use this Spanish word on this show, cojones. That's right, having the attitude that I have a defender in front of me. I'm going to take you on. I'm going to do something spectacular because I'm a badass. And I've got that attitude. And I see that within this England squad quite a bit. And these young players, that whether or not they're getting the playing time that they should be getting in the Premier League, there's an attitude around this camp and people kind of looking at each other with this level of, hey, we're all youngsters with something to prove. And I bring this back to the golden era and what a lot of people, I think, and obviously England has been guilty of this for so many years, you know this all too well, but of really overhyping this generation of players and really setting them up to fail in many ways at the international level. Do you think it's kind of a blessing right now how down on themselves, as you say, the England camp is, because these young players are going, hey, we're just going out with you know, everything to prove, everyone's down on us, and you look at the transition from the golden era, is that something that could really be a kind of a blessing for this England team? We got about 90 seconds before we had to break here, Gary.
Well, I think the blessing was the fact that Gerrard and Lampard retired after the World Cup, not because I think they're bad players. It's just a case of, you know, it's the ripping off the plaster, you know, getting rid of it straight away. Because I think when you see teams in transition, if they keep the connection to that older generation of players, that sometimes it can prolong it. Whereas England have got rid of Gerrard, they've got rid of Lampard. Rooney is the last connection to that, you know, so-called golden era of English players. And now it's allowed these young players to come in where the likes of Ross Barkley are playing every game now. You know, John Stones is in there. There's no Rio Ferdinand. There's no John Terry. You know, so these players are able to come in and play, you know, full internationals, have all the pressure on their shoulders and make the most of it. So, you know, I think that's the encouraging thing for England. What they need on the side of that is the club teams to be playing in European competition to see Ross Barkley in the Champions League consistently, because that's the one thing he's missing by being Everton, which, you know, to go back to John Stones, the biggest disappointment out of that whole saga is the fact that he's not going to be playing Champions League football this season, you know, whereas if he was at Chelsea, he would have been, and that's going to add to him going into European Championship next summer. So I think certainly, you know, it's encouraging, and, you know, to see the fact that these young players have got the pressure on them, you know, it's leaving England in a good position.
Gary Hayes is our guest here in this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio, breaking down the Chelsea situation, talking about the Three Lions and their chances in France 2016 in the Euros. And when we get back, very interesting discussion that I've really been looking forward to here with Gary Hayes. We're talking about the roots of football programs. That's right, actual in-stadium programs in England and their connection historically to Chelsea Football Club. That and more on the other side of this break. World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here. Time to shake off that boring old weekend and get back to the excitement of labor. You're going to need a good lunch, though. So stop into a KFC for a $5 fill-up with two pieces of original recipe chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a medium drink. Okay, then. I'll let you get back to work now. KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Drum thigh side cookie medium drink. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
What's the best way to bring people together?
T-shirts!
T-shirts. Custom T-shirts that you design online with Custom Ink. Custom Ink has created over 50 million shirts for families, teams, reunions, church groups, cheerleaders, companies big and small. On-time delivery is guaranteed, and we'll even ship your order absolutely free.
Start designing your Custom Ink T-shirts today and see why 99% of our customers say they would order from us again. Visit CustomInk.com.
World Soccer Talk Radio, back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Tweet us your take on today's show at World Soccer Talk, and tweet me, Nate Abarreya, at NateWST. Gary Hayes is with us, the lead Chelsea correspondent for Bleacher Report. Now, Gary, you also have a role with a company called Program Master, and you also have an infatuation with football programs. And there's an interesting tie-in to this, as you are a Chelsea man through and through. There's a man by the name of Albert Sewell that you were telling me about back about an hour ago, and his connection to the roots of football programs and in-stadium programs and how important they were to the growth of English football a long, long time ago. Let's dig back into the history books and explain to the listeners the roots of football programs in England and just how important they were back in the day, Gary.
Yeah, just to start with, Albert Sewell was like a much-loved figure in sports media in the UK, because he also worked for 40-odd years on Match of the Day as one of the stats guys there. So he's a guy who's well thought of over here. And, he had a massive influence on the way programmes are now. So when programmes first started out, they were just literally pamphlets, which would have the, before the days of substitutes, obviously, teams had 11 players and 11 players had played a game. So you'd have the lineup on the pamphlet and maybe a little bit of information about the game, and that was it. Whereas when Albert Sewell was doing that for Chelsea in the 50s, he totally transformed it and gave us programmes as we see them today. So he brought in the magazine format. So there was, more features and everything else, that when people were going to games, they were getting a proper magazine rather than just a pamphlet. And then obviously things grew from there to get them to where they are now, where they're, 100-page publications every game. It's interesting because you speak to fans from, across Europe and, fans from the States, and they go to the games and they don't understand what they're getting. But over here, it's a bit of a niche, bit of a niche industry, really. It is an industry that only exists in Britain. But, it's just you go to the game and, for instance, at Chelsea, you'll get two interviews with the players. You'll get other information around, the youth teams and, the women's team and what have you. But then the big thing is that the reason why everybody buys a programme that does buy a programme is because you get the manager's notes and you get the captain's notes. And this where, for instance, at Chelsea, Jose Mourinho will be directly addressing the fans, speaking directly to the fans. And, John Terry's doing the same. And it happens across all 92 football league, all 92 professional clubs in England. Non-league teams do it. It's a massive industry here, and it's just a way of documenting games, and people over here are avid collectors of them as well. So if you get a full collection of the full 19 home games for Chelsea in the league, and then you get on top of that the away games as well, that years down the line, if those programs stay in good condition, that they're suddenly worth thousands in some cases. So especially just thinking about Albert Sewell when he was doing it at Chelsea in 54-55, when Chelsea won the league, that a complete collection from that season's, it's priceless in some cases, especially for Chelsea fans, because it was the first time Chelsea won the league. So it's a big deal over here, and it's a really traditional way of people going to games. And for instance, my brother took his son to the Capital One Cup final in March, and he's only 8 years old, and it was his first game that he went to. First thing my brother did was he wanted to buy a programme as a record of the fact that he was at the game and it was his first game. So it's something that's passed down from generation to generation in England.
Every single match that I have ever attended in England, I have a match programme to prove it. That's absolutely right. And I love the collector's aspects of it and looking at it as collector's items and priceless collector's items in so many cases. Now, I want to transition this now into the modern era, because you say that there's some folks, and I love your friend and his son, kind of passing on the nostalgia and the beauty and this great concept of what the program means to the attendee of a football match in England. However, I had an interesting conversation with the gaffer as we were preparing for today's show with you, Gary, and that is how have football programs adapted, the adaptation to the modern era, when most of the stuff that you kind of just threw out there is available at the fingertips of most people in the smartphone 24/7 news cycle era, where there's so much information available literally at the fingertips of most everybody in the crowd at a football match. How have the designers of football programs adapted to this modern era and the social media and internet generation and made football programs still relevant and still liked and still important in England?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned designers just there, because there's a lot of stuff that's coming into them now, which is maybe, you know, a little bit too late, that should have come in a little bit earlier. You know, stuff such as infographics being used in programs now for, you know, whereas they're not as word heavy. You know, if you look at a program from the mid 90s, you're looking at, you know, masses and masses of copy on pages, whereas now it's it's a lot more streamlined, that the content's more bite-sized. You know, maybe getting into the boring, you know, side of it there, but you know, it's that they're a lot more illustrated, so you're looking at them, and you know, it, to appeal to a younger fan, you don't want to be too word heavy and, you know, etc, etc. But then the USP of them is that they are this collector's item where fans are able to get stuff from, you know, if you, for instance, go back to Chelsea, if you're going to a Chelsea game, you're getting an interview that isn't anywhere else. You're getting Jose Mourinho's notes where he's directly talking to the fans that isn't available anywhere else. And that's what fans are buying it for, because it's a direct link to the club. You know, if you're a Manchester United fan going to watch Chelsea, unless you're an ardent collector of programmes, you're not going to buy it. They are literally just for the fans of that team. You know, and I guess it kind of taps into the fanzine culture, you know, whereas it's the club directly addressing the fans rather than fans addressing fans. And that's the USP of programmes, that they appeal to a small group of people. But as a collective, you know, those 92 clubs where fans are going every week, it's the way the club directly, you know, communicate to the fans. And that's what fans are paying for. And, you know, they're getting that insight from Mourinho, they're getting that insight from John Terry. And then, you know, also you get, you know, We work with Fulham, and for instance, you'll get Les Strong doing a column where, you know, he's an old legend at the club, and he'll be doing a column about, you know, his time at Fulham, and, you know, recounting the glory days of 1975, etc. So it's just a way of, you know, keeping fans in touch with the club now, and then obviously new fans, you know, giving them a bit of history about the team so they can understand the culture around the club. You know, I guess it's kind of like a newsletter, but a well-made newsletter, and it's, you know, professionally done, and it looks good, and, you know, the content's good, and it just, you know, plays into the fans being part of that club.
Well, it's absolutely brilliant. One of the things that you pointed out in there, and that is the exclusivity of many of these interviews and how they're only given to the program, and there's a true connection with the supporters through these things. And it feels like it's taking a club like Chelsea that has become such a worldwide entity, and there's Chelsea fans in, you know, 100 different countries around this world, probably even more. There's Chelsea fans all over this globe, and yet it brings it right back to Southwest London. I mean, it feels like it's a neighborhood thing with these programs, and it's bringing clubs back to their roots. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, certainly. You know, like I say, it's an excellent communication tool for, you know, for fans to keep in touch with, you know, with the club. And especially, you know, I know we do live in this digital age now where, you know, everything is available online and over social media, but then, you know, going to games, you've got a lot of people that aren't necessarily, you know, IT literate, that don't use websites, that, you know, that aren't following, you know, the clubs on social media. So it's another way of tapping into that fan base. And so, you know, by keeping the programs there, it's ensuring that, you know, all bases are covered. And especially just looking outside of, you know, the clubs, when, you know, you go to the FA Cup final and you get, you know, the FA Cup final program, you know, now you're paying through your teeth for it, because you're paying about, you know, £12-14, which I don't know, it's about $30 for a program, which is a lot. But then at the same time, you know, you want the whole experience, and you go there and you've got your ticket and you've got your program with all the information about the game and the interviews and the insight. You know, it just gives something that you can't get online. And it's that tangible product that fans still like. They like to come away with something that they can keep, that, you know, is the memory of the game. And, you know, whether it was the fact that they came over from America to watch Chelsea against Manchester United, or whether they're at Wembley to watch them lift the FA Cup, you know, it's that tangible memory of the fact that they were there and they witnessed it.
Gary, we got about 5 minutes left here with you, and you brought up fanzine culture. And for those of you who haven't had the privilege of attending a match in a UK, in the UK, fanzines are one of my favorite things around various grounds, and kind of comparing and contrasting different sets of fanzines. Would you care to kind of enlighten some of the listeners who might not be in touch with that culture, what the fanzine is, and what I'm actually really curious about as we're kind of breaking down this history of these match programs and literary material and graphics and all this stuff? When did fanzines really become a thing in England, Gary?
I don't know exactly when they became a thing, but they've been around forever, just as long as the program, I think. You know, again, they're just another tool of for fans to keep in touch with fans. And, you know, the way they've worked in the past is, you know, just speaking from personal experience at Chelsea, because it's the one that I've had more involvement with than anything else. It's just a way of the fans having a voice and the fans, you know, coming together and, you know, campaigning against certain issues that may be at the club, and, you know, ensuring that they're well represented. You know, at Chelsea, there's this there's a group called the Chelsea Pitch Owners, and the way it's very unique in football in that the fans own that Stamford Bridge pitch. And that all came about from the 80s when Chelsea didn't own Stamford Bridge, and there was the risk that the property developers were going to knock it down and, you know, build a whole load of luxury flats on it. And the Chelsea fans were able to buy the pitch, and now the fans own that pitch. And if Roman Abramovich wants to do anything with Stamford Bridge, he can't, because that pitch is, you know, belongs to the Chelsea fans. Chelsea don't actually own it. And that all comes around from the fanzine, because people, you know, communicating through the fanzine, getting that voice of fans, you know, getting people together. It's a way of the fans keeping together, getting that fan movement going. And, you know, now the most influential fanzine at Chelsea is one called CFC UK, which is run by a chap called Dave Johnston. Dave Johnston, who's very influential at Chelsea. But that fanzine, you know, like I say, it gives those fans a voice, but it allows for things to be organised, such as when you see the flags out before the game, that, you know, they pop up and it, you know, it says the Pride of London, and it sails across the Matthew Harden stand. That's the people, the fanzine, arranging that, and it's the fans communicating, and, you know, it's the way of them getting their messages across, them, you know, creating that culture of fandom around the club. And it works with Arsenal, it works with Manchester United, works with Liverpool, works with, you know, even going down to the smaller clubs like Barnet. You know, it's just this way of fans having their voice and being represented, and, you know, keeping together, and, you know, getting that movement going. And, you know, that's what it's all about in, you know, English fan culture. And, you know, the fanzine's a big part of that.
I love it. Organization, communication, and true taking of action through these publications. I mean, this goes so much beyond just football. The power of these small publications and passing these things out and selling them for a couple of quid, and the things that can actually get done through these fanzines, and even tying it back to the match programs. These are methods of communication. Absolutely love this conversation, Gary. Who would you say, I know you work a lot with all the Chelsea stuff, and whether it's the official match programs or the fanzines outside of Chelsea here in the minute and a half that we got left, who are some of the other the clubs where their programs and fanzines, you look at them and go, these ones are quality?
Yeah, I think if just for the official program, if you look at Arsenal, what they produce is excellent. They're a club that they might not necessarily get it right on the pitch a lot, but I think their media department's exceptional. They do everything really well. They run their digital department very well, and their program is probably the best program in the Premier League. You know, they held a meeting at the end of last season where all the Premier League clubs went along, and, you know, it was a way of all the clubs coming together and that. And you see what Arsenal are doing, a lot of other clubs are copying, because what they do it very well, because they've got a good budget behind it. They've got an excellent team. They've got a brilliant editor. They've got, you know, good designers on it. It's just a really, really good high-end product that you wouldn't necessarily expect of a program. And it's, you know, there's a lot in there. There's, you know, even down to silly things that people might not necessarily pay attention to, but working in the industry, you know, down to different paperweights throughout. They have, you know, collectible cards that get ripped off throughout the season, that, you know, which is mainly for kids to get them buying the program, you know, where they rip off the cards and they collect it, like, you know, Panini stickers. You know, that's a really well-made program. And then talking about the fanzine, I think Fulham, there's a guy called David Lloyd that does, it's called There's Only One F in Fulham, and he's a good friend of mine. But he produced an excellent, phenomenal fanzine about Fulham there. And it's something that represents the club well. And, you know, there's other people such as Liam Curry that get involved with him as well, and a guy called Joe Chaveau, they're the team behind that. And yeah, it's just a really good movement. And you go down to the cottage and you see what they're doing with that. And, you know, yeah, it just shows fans in a positive light. And, you know, it's something that's encouraging and pleasing to see.
Gary, it's always great having you on the show. You're welcome back anytime, mate. And best of luck this Saturday on Rabble.tv, calling your beloved Blues as they head to another Blue House, Goodison Park, Everton and at Chelsea on Saturday. Best of luck with that. And thanks again for coming on, man.
Yeah, I think I'll need it. Cheers.
Cheers to you. Gary Hayes, lead Chelsea correspondent for Bleacher Report. Back to take the express train home on the other side of this break. World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
Health insurance is on everybody's mind right now. You either don't have it, or you have it and you think it's too expensive. And you probably feel like you don't have any options. We can help. We are the Health Markets Insurance Agency. We offer health insurance plans from major carriers nationwide and likely have a plan that can save you money. Whether you're self-employed, on a COBRA plan that's about to expire, or you simply don't have health insurance where you work and you need it, the Health Markets Insurance Agency can help you. Our agents will help you find coverage you can afford. Health Markets Insurance Agency is an authorized agency in all 50 states, including the District of Columbia. Plans may not be available in all states. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies, but you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-221-0010 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-221-0010. That's 888-221-0010.
So during the past few months, we have created a new weekend tradition, which includes watching your favorite team play on TV, muting the broadcast, and then heading over to Rabble.tv to hear audio during the game from a cast of characters ranging from the full-time Devils, Sam Kelly, Carter Krishnire, Juan Arango, and many others. Well, now Rabble.tv is taking it to the next level with a brand new redesign, as well as new apps for Android and iOS smartphones and tablets. So matter whether you're at home or on the road, tune into this Saturday's broadcast between Everton and Chelsea and listen to a lad by the name of Gary Hayes. Hey, I know him. He was on my show today. Gary Hayes from the Bleacher Report sharing his thoughts and opinions during the Everton and Chelsea clash. Chelsea only recording one win out of four games so far. Gary saying, yeah, he'll probably need that luck that I gave him as he just left the show a few minutes ago. It's more important than ever for the Blues to put in a convincing performance against Everton at Goodison Park this Saturday. Look forward to the tasty matchup. Yes, indeed, this tasty, tasty matchup. The John Stones Derby, as some are calling it. With Rabble, you can get involved too by posting your questions or observations in the comments section. And if you got an iPhone or an Android, install the Rabble TV app and add a comment to the broadcast message board. Get involved, then listen live via the app or create your own broadcast. Call one of your team's games. It's easy. It's free. Sign up today. Try it out. Rabble.tv. And join Gary Hayes this Saturday, 7:45 a.m. Eastern time here in the U.S. of A. for Everton and Chelsea from Goodison Park. Rabble.tv, where it's your team and it's your call. For Dom Jimenez and the gaffer and Gary Hayes, my name is Nate Abarea. Cheers. Bye for now.